For more talks and meditations, go to GloriaKGreen.com. Turning up the volume on your inner nurturer. You've been criticizing yourself for years and it hasn't worked. Try approving of yourself and see what happens, according to Thich Nhat Hanh. For most of us, our inner critic is much louder than our inner nurturer, so much louder that we can barely hear our inner nurturer. To turn up the volume on our inner nurturer, we can feel the goodness of awe and unconditional love, restrain our inner critic, strengthen our inner nurturer, and let go of limiting beliefs. We all have innate goodness within us. I find the easiest way to feel this goodness is to allow myself to experience awe or to experience unconditional love. Just sitting with a beautiful scene or a movie of holding a baby or watching a baby, anything that brings you the feeling of everything's okay with the world. And just sitting with it and letting it sink in. Or playing the movie in your mind of one moment where either you gave someone unconditional love or they gave unconditional love to you. And just feeling what it felt like. Letting that light inside you grow brighter and brighter. So those are two ways to give us the strength we need so that we can turn the volume up on our inner nurturer. Because if you're like me, you struggle with feeling like you're enough. You struggle with feeling broken and like you've messed up your life, even when your life looks neat on the outside. Our inner critic tells us loud and clear that it's not okay to be less than perfect. Our inner critic would make Einstein look stupid and Mother Teresa look selfish. Hal and Sidra Stone say, it's your inner critic who feels you are rotten to the core. It's your inner critic who feels you must never let anyone know who or what you are because you are a mistake. You are flawed. An evil, possibly, even dangerous creature. It is your inner critic who fears that others will find you disgusting and possibly horrifying and that they will hurt or reject you. The loud voice of our inner critic encourages us to give up control. You will never be good enough, so why even bother? The way our inner critic talks to us makes us question our ability to learn or to grow. We think, I can never change this. The inner critic is so loud, we can't hear the soft voice of our inner nurturer. Rick Hansen says, but for most people, the inner critic goes way overboard, throwing second dart after second dart of scolding, shaming, nitpicking, and fault finding. It's big and powerful, while the inner nurturer is small and ineffective, which wears down mood, self-worth, and resilience. Happily, there are good ways to reset this balance by restraining the inner critic and strengthening the inner nurturer inside yourself. So let's look at how we can restrain our inner critic. We'll start by recognizing when our inner critic's talking. You can recognize the inner critic's tone. It's harsh, demeaning. When your inner critic's in control, you may notice your voice gets higher and you talk faster or louder. You may notice your heart is racing and that you're breathing faster. If you scan your body, you're likely to feel tightness and tension. Your inner critic is most likely to talk when you feel most vulnerable. So maybe it's when you've been criticized, belittled, when you're feeling stressed, or maybe you've done something that's totally inappropriate or out of character with who you are. Another way to realize the inner critic is talking is to notice the content. It's usually a variation of one of these themes. You have no business doing that. You should be perfect at all times. Normal people wouldn't do this. You only have problems because you're bad. There is something wrong with you. So take a moment and write down your inner critic's favorite messages for you. Writing it down causes us to clarify the words we really want to use so we really understand what messages our inner critic has been sharing with us over the years. So the inner critic is helping you to recognize where you've gone wrong. It might be pointing out a flaw to you. So your inner critic's really trying to help you, but the harsh, demeaning tone doesn't encourage you to make the changes that you want to make in your life. We all have changes we'd like to make, but when we beat ourselves up, we don't have the energy to make the changes we want to make. The exaggerations kind of beat us down. And as the inner critic is shaming us for being stupid or dumb or not mindful or whatever, and our brain, when it's shamed, it can't learn. It turns off our learning when we shame ourselves. So we need to learn how to restrain the inner critic. And sometimes we do it by trying to ignore it or fight the inner critic. But we've talked before about what we resist persists. We end up playing whack-a-mole with our inner critic. If we fight it by saying, I shouldn't be judging myself, I'm too harsh, we're just practicing judging. When one woman in prison used to call her inner critic a bitch, she was just engaging her inner critic. She was ready for a fight. That didn't help. I often yell at Billy, will you cut it out? And that doesn't stop him. You know, I say, Billy, just leave me alone. And it doesn't stop him from keeping those thoughts popping up in my head. He just keeps up his banter about how I'm not good enough and how this is wrong and how that's wrong. So it's normal to want to fight your inner critic, but it's not going to work. So we need to respond to the inner critic in a mindful way. And we have to be really careful of the words we use because we're talking to ourselves and we're listening. And language is very powerful. So you want to talk to yourself in useful ways. Instead of telling your inner critic, shut up, you might say, that criticism has a grain of truth, but everything else is exaggerated or untrue. Or you might say, this is what so-and-so used to tell me. It was wrong then, and it's wrong now. This is not helping me, and I don't have to listen to it. Your inner critic wants to help you, but often it's not helping you. So you just say, that's not helpful. That's not helpful. Every time that thought pops up, that's not helpful. Or, I made a mistake. I'll do better next time. And he brings up the mistake again. Yes, I made a mistake. I'll do better next time. And it's kind of starting to get your inner nurturer talking instead of your inner critic. And that's the next thing we have to do besides restraining our inner critic is we have to strengthen our inner nurturer so that it's louder and more effective. Your inner nurturer is the part of you that acts like a best friend. It accepts that you're an imperfect human being and that it's normal to make mistakes. It speaks to you in a soft, compassionate way, not the harsh, belittling tone of the inner critic. And instead of encouraging a fixed mindset, which the inner critic does, you can't do this, you can't change, you can't grow, you'll never whatever, it encourages a growth mindset that you can do it. You can do it. So you want to take some time to get to know your inner nurturer. And I learned something last week in prison, which was just the best idea ever, I thought. One of the guys told me that he wrote down the most common messages he did from got from his inner critic, which we all just did. And then what he did, he said, then I sat down and I wrote what my inner nurturer would say, because I had to have it ready. I couldn't think of what the inner nurturer would say when the inner critic was talking. I had to have those thoughts in advance. So he sat down and took some time in more than one meditation to just look at his inner critic and then translate whatever that was into something his inner nurturer might say. And he found that it was really very helpful, that he could respond to his inner critic much more effectively. He didn't have to say, shut up, Billy, because he knew that wouldn't work. So he came up with maybe some of the sentences I said before, but sometimes other things. Other things that he could say. So that when his inner critic started to criticize him, he could talk back with his inner nurturer, and therefore his inner critic wouldn't get out of control. And how many here have an inner critic that gets out of control? And that's when we feel all stressed and all crazy, right? Because we got so much going on and this inner critic's telling us all these negative things, and our body gets all tensed up and our adrenaline's going, and we're on that hamster wheel of reactivity and we can't get off. But if when we have one foot on that hamster wheel of reactivity and we can remember, oh yeah, when my inner critic says this, I was going to say this, then we don't have to put the other foot on there. So let's take a look at the criticisms that you just wrote down from your inner critic. And choose one or two, not the toughest one, to explore. And just develop a statement your inner nurturer can say in a kinder, more positive way, which is more likely to get the change that you're looking for. So for example, if your inner critic's saying, I'm not good enough, you might say, wow, my inner critic's very active today. Or if your inner critic's saying, I'm so selfish, you might say, I've given all that I'm willing to give today. Or if your inner critic's telling you you're lazy, you might say, I'm tired and I'm allowed to rest today. Now, that can't be something that you say all the time, every day, but once in a while it is appropriate. So whether it's your inner critic telling you you're stupid, or I can't believe you lost your keys again, or you're going to be late again, or whatever it was that you wrote out, take a few moments and just write what your inner nurturer would say. It's a lot easier to come up with the sentences that your inner nurturer could say than it is to do it in real life at the right time. So at the end, our meditation will be practicing that. But before we go there, I'd like to talk about one other thing that helps turn up the volume on your inner nurturer and restrain your inner critic, and that is letting go of limiting beliefs. We all have these beliefs about ourselves that we've heard since maybe we were 6 years old. And some of them are true and some of them are not. But sometimes they limit what we do with our life. They make us listen to our inner critic and not our inner nurturer. So I have been paying attention to the limiting beliefs my inner critic tells me, and I've created some empowering beliefs that I have to keep communicating to myself over and over, because I want to let the neural pathway of I'm not good enough fall to the wayside. And I want to replace it with I'm perfectly imperfect. Everyone has flaws and I'm enough. And so sometimes when I'm doing standing mountain in yoga, I will just use these empowering beliefs and say them over and over, kind of like a mantra. Because I want to create those neural pathways. Another limiting belief I've had is I must always be right and know everything. Trisha probably knows where I got that one from. But my empowering belief is relationships are more important than being right. I don't have to be right. My inner critic says I must do everything for everyone all the time. And my empowering belief is it's okay to have boundaries on what I will do. First 60 years of my life, I had no boundaries on what I would do. Another one is it's not okay to have needs or ask for help. You know, I'll be carrying something and someone will offer to help and I'm struggling with it. No, I'm fine. Really? It makes people happy to help you. Think about how it makes you happy to help someone. But you're not letting them have that same happiness. And then another limiting belief I've had since seventh grade is people won't like me. And my empowering belief is, while not everyone will like me, most people will, and that's okay. And it changes how I relate to people when I think about that empowering belief. So we need to really pay attention to what our inner critic's saying and see how we can change it from a belief that limits us and keeps us small to a belief that allows us to grow and maybe expands our tolerance for discomfort and expands our life and makes us more spacious. Turning up the volume on our inner nurturer is not a one and done. You've strengthened the neural pathways of your inner critic for years. It'll take time to weaken them so they're not your automatic response. And you've been ignoring your inner nurturer for the same number of years. Just like going to the gym, it will take lots of reps to build up the strength.